ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it is Rob O'Donnell today, WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 309, 73 degrees on this Thursday, September 25th, 2025. And yeah, I've been under the weather and still fighting it, but let's see if we can get through today with maybe a little help from you guys, but we'll see where we go here. And see if I can get through it. Just this chest cold, from what I understand, it's going around, just really got the best of me. And even today, everybody who's seen me here in the studio was like, you don't look good. So we'll see if we can make it through the 3 hours. But I'm going to give it a shot. So how's everyone doing? I'm going to play a lot of catch up today because, again, I haven't been here since Monday. So, you know, I may be diving into some stories that you've already heard and talked about this week, but I think they're important to show some poignant clarifications. I had my schedules all planned out and ready to talk, both on Tuesday and Wednesday, and waited till the last minute I could to come in and try and get to the topics that I wanted to bring to you. But again, you know, Mother Nature and the respiratory issue got the best of me. So, yeah, and this is common for me. Usually I get one in the spring, one in the fall, and this is usually it's more in my sinuses. This is in the upper chest. So we'll see how we go through here. But that's enough of that. Monday, I saw, and the headline was great, a rally in Scranton urges NEPA lawmakers to keep healthcare affordable. Less than a dozen showed up. Less than a dozen showed up. So, you know, I dove into this a little bit. And one of the people they interviewed here, a small business owner, Michelle Rothenbecker, relied on federal health insurance marketplace for her family's health care insurance. Now, a lot of people do. That's not uncommon. But she fears that she will pay more if lawmakers don't come to agreement to extend tax credits that allow people like her to afford health insurance. And this Bear Creek resident was one of around 10 people who rallied outside the downtown offices of Republican U.S. Senator Dave McCormick and U.S. Representative Rob Bresnahan Monday afternoon, urging them to extend the tax credit and preserve federal health care programs like Medicaid. Now, mind you, these are two separate entities, and we're going to get into that in a minute. The extension of the federal health insurance tax credits have nothing to do with Medicaid. They, of course, are trying to lump it together as much as they can because it sounds better and it puts people into that fear mode a lot better. But we're going to talk about what these tax credits exactly are and what they're looking for to be extended. And this is a big part of the stalemate in the budget talks in Washington. The Democrats want these enhanced premium tax credits. Let's say what they are. They're enhanced premium tax credits that were first passed under the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. Now, the primary federal tax credit for health care enacted in 2021 were enhancements. They increased to the Premium Tax Credit PTC introduced through the American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA, signed into law March 11, 2021. Now, the Premium Tax Credit, the original, which was established under the Affordable Care Act in 2010, was created to help eligible individuals and families afford health insurance premium purchased through the health insurance marketplace, healthcare.gov, or state-based exchanges. ARPA, this 2021 law, ARPA temporarily expanded and increased the generosity of this refundable tax credit for tax years 2021, 2022, and they subsequently extended it through 2025 via the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. These changes were designed to provide COVID-19 relief by making coverage more affordable amid an economic uncertainty. This was a COVID-era increase of the premium tax credit that was instituted in 2021 temporarily. Now, what everyone's saying, what this small business owner, and I don't understand. Listen, I know a lot of small businesses that struggle out there, but if you do not meet the criteria under the original premium tax credit for the Affordable Care Act, and you have a small business, and you need my tax supplement, my tax dollars to help pay for your insurance, no, you should qualify under the original Affordable Care Act. And we could talk about that another time. That is the law of the land, so we will keep that there. This was a COVID-era increase to the premium tax credit. It enhanced the premium tax credit. And it was only supposed to be for 2021 and 2022. But thanks for the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, they extended it to 2025. That is due to expire, this temporary program. So what the key changes implemented in 2021 to the premium tax credit, to make it an enhanced premium tax credit, again, this temporary change that was supposed to be, it eliminated the income cap. Prior to ARPA, the PTC, the premium tax credit, eligibility was limited to households with modified adjusted growth income between 100 and 400% of the federal poverty level. ARPA removed the 400% upper limit for tax years 2021, 2022, allowing subsidies for those above that threshold extended to 2025. This made nearly everyone eligible regardless of income as long as they met other criteria, no access to affordable employer-sponsored coverage. It took away the income cap, increased subsidy amounts, lower contribution percentages. ARPA reduced the percentage of income households must contribute towards premiums, making the credit more generous. Under the original Affordable Care Act rules, contributions range from 2 to 9.83% of income. ARPA capped them at 0 to 8.5 for 2021, as shown in the table below, which I have here. This effectively covered 100% of premiums for low-income households and provided substantial relief for middle-income. Special rule for unemployment recipients. For the tax year 2021, if an individual and their spouse received unemployment compensation for any week, their household income was deemed no greater than 133% of the FPL and eligible purposes. This ensured a broader access during the high unemployment periods. Again, this temporary program. This was a COVID temporary program that did away with income caps. So a small business owner who does not have access to an employer base because they're their own small business, you could be making hundreds of thousands of dollars and you're eligible to get these tax credits through the marketplace under this enhanced premium tax credit. And what they're saying is, well, COVID's over. This enhanced program, therefore, should be over. So we're letting it expire. And organizations like Action Together NEPA and this small business owner and Democrats are running around saying the mean old Republicans want to take your health care away and cut it. No, they want it to be for people who are truly eligible. Because if we don't isolate it to people who are truly eligible, there will be no programs left. They are going insolvent, and unless we crack down on the fraud, waste, and mismanagement, and temporary expansions that no longer are needed, these programs will no longer exist. So there's a little behind the scenes of what they're talking about when they talk about the enhanced premium tax credit. What it did under this temporary COVID era programs is take away the income level. So everybody's qualified for it if they do not have access to an employer-based plan. It's as simple as that. Unless we focus these programs, and this goes for Social Security as well, as well as we focus these programs on people who truly need the Medicaid, I mean, and focus on those who truly qualify for these programs, not the expansions that were temporarily made, not the caps that were removed because of COVID. Unless we focus on those programs specifically to the people who truly qualify and need them, under the Affordable Care Act, these people do not qualify for these enhanced premium tax credits. The expansion was temporary. It was always meant to be temporary, but now they're trying to gaslight you and make you believe that they are trying to take these programs away from you and make healthcare unaffordable. Well, what did you do before COVID? That would be my question to the small. Did you have the same small business owner? What did you do then? Listen, before the Affordable Care Act, and a lot of people don't talk about this, but I have talked about it here. When they instituted the Affordable Care Act, my health insurance went up 600%. And I was told, well, you got to pay your fair share for the people that don't deserve it. And that's the bill of goods I was sold. You know, there are plenty of people out here that don't qualify and need health insurance, and that's how they're going to do it. They're going to charge people with those Cadillac plans, remember that? More, so they could pay for the people that can't afford their own health insurance. Well, now because of COVID, you took away those caps, and anyone could apply as long as you didn't have an employer-based system, and I'm still expected to pay for them? After I'd had to give up my Cadillac plan to a lesser plan where I have to travel further and pay higher premiums because my monthly premium went from $379 to $1,879 in a mere 2 years. If we don't focus these programs on who truly qualifies and needs them, these programs are not going to be there for anyone. But they want to gaslight you and make you think they're taking away. That's why the connection here with Medicaid. And even in the article, it says, you know, urging them to extend tax credits and preserve federal health care programs like Medicare. They are two separate things. They even kind of said there, they're two separate things, but we're gonna combine them as much as we can to gaslight you and put fear in you. But if someone would sit down and tell you that a small business owner who's making a good living, now some struggle, I get it. But in this type of system we have today with these enhanced premium tax credits, a small business making several hundred thousand dollars a year could qualify for subsidies paid for by our tax dollars to pay for their health care. The cap was removed totally. So just a little behind the scenes. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, coming up on 326, 73 degrees. Listen, my ears are clogged because of this chest cold I'm dealing with, and my hearing may be a little off. I even have my headphones turned up a little bit. But correct me if I'm wrong, because this is the text message I got just now. You Republicans just never stop targeting the needy, do you? The rich and powerful can do whatever they want. You prefer to attack the low-hanging fruit, don't you, Rob? You're such a great Christian. Well, there's a lot wrong there. First of all, I said that the expansion that took away the caps on this to where people who don't qualify for the program should no longer get it, keeping it solvent for those who truly need this program. Isn't that looking out for the truly needy instead of running these systems into the ground, which every bipartisan focus group has said these programs are running out of money? Make that Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. These things are running out of money. They cannot sustain the level that they're at. And yes, a temporary COVID increase to remove the cap to where anyone could now qualify for this as long as you met certain criteria as far as not being available to an employer plan. That is looking out for the needy. And how you heard that any other way just goes. Listen, we have the rewind feature on our app. I suggest you go back and listen to what I said and listen to the expansions that created under the COVID 2021-2022 that was expanded to 2025 to a temporary program that was never meant to be permanent. That's not taking away from the needy. That's saving the program so the needy have a program that's there for them. And to attack me for being a Christian because you don't like what I have to say, thank you for proving every point that's been discussed the past 2 weeks since our friend Charlie Kirk was killed. Thank you for proving that point. That's exactly where and how low you guys go. And since you said you're Republicans, I would guess that you're a Democrat. Maybe not, but that's just my assumption. But you keep that bright shining light you are and not listening to 90% of what I said and only hearing the part you didn't want to hear. So railroad company promises a $2 million fix, rail track, add passenger service to Wilkes-Barre. While litigation continues over the Luzerne County Redevelopment Authority 60-mile rail line, the Reading and Northern Railroad is promising to spend $2 million to fix the track between Wilkes-Barre and Pittston and to bring passenger rail service to Wilkes-Barre with a new station. Let's get the momentum going for this. Call your elected officials and the rail authority if you would like it, the Reading and Northern Railroad said in a full-page ad that ran this past Sunday in the Citizen's Voice. The Reading and Northern Railroad said it would build a new station at Market Square Complex in downtown Wilkes-Barre with no taxpayer money, provide free parking at the new station for all guests who ride trains there and spend almost $500,000, $425,000 installing crossing protection at East Market Street in Wilkes-Barre. The railroad company also said it would build a new station in downtown Pittston on land to be acquired from the city of Pittston, clean up litter on railroad property, hire a railroad police force to prevent trespassing and improve public safety. I think it's a great opportunity for us. I really do, said one of the county chairmen, John Lombardo. Why would you think that this railroad company would want to invest $2 million to fix the railroad tracks, build stations? Do you think they really foresee passenger rail service coming to this area and maybe even expanding it past the Scranton area? That's a lot of money to be investing. And listen, I highly recommend those fall train trips down to Jim Thorpe and stuff that we have in our area. They are phenomenal. Rail service is an underappreciated system of transportation as long as it's planned properly, which is why I have severe doubts about a New York City rail line coming here. I don't think it gives us the benefit that we're expecting, and I think our local politicians are not planning for the long term big enough. Quite simply, where their increase in police force, their public works? You know, if the city of Scranton wants a rail station that's coming from New York City, you would probably need to look at a 30% increase of your police force. You would probably need to plan for a 25% increase in your public works. You would need to keep parking lots clear. You need to keep roads clear. You would need to keep things plowed and ready to go and salted, brined, and whatever else there would be for it. Lighting, the infrastructure all around it. It's not just a miraculous, hey, a train comes here. Whoa, look, here's all the money, millions of dollars that are coming our way. That's not the way that works. You have to have the infrastructure in place to make sure it's done properly. So when nefarious individuals try to expand out to this direction, they realize that this isn't a place they want to mess with because of the better than normal police protection and the better than normal response that they get, that broken windows theory. That's how you do these things properly. San Diego did this, and they learned the hard way when they issued, it was basically a train service, but they call it a trolley that goes from downtown San Diego to the high dollar malls in northern San Diego. And crime went with it to the point where they had to station dozens of police officers at every stop for every hour that the train was working there. because they just weren't ready for it. It's 3:32 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. We'd like to thank our show's sponsor today, Whitman Lawn Care. Whitman Lawn Care can help protect your yard from fleas and ticks, so you can let the good times roll without the worry. Call Whitman Lawn Care at 570-451-3683 and take your backyard back. So I'd like to thank Whitman Lawn Care. Let me go to the phone now. We have Rich from Laughlin on trains. Rich.
How you doing, Rob? Thank you, sir. Are people acting like it's 1935 and there's no other way to get transportation around here? I mean, you're 7.5 miles away from Pittston to Wilkes-Barre. There's buses that go there. And don't forget, if you want to go to the north part of Wilkes-Barre, the southern part, the train's only going to take you to point A and that's it. And I do not see, there's like three or four stores in Pittston, and they're closed by 4 or 5 o'clock.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
And that's including a Burger King and a hot dog place, okay? No disrespect, nice places for everybody, but there's nothing involving here. I don't see it. There's got to be another angle here, federal funds or something.
Well, that's what is the bigger plan here? I think it's a great nostalgia type thing that could bring tourists or have local people here, something to do for our area. But where's the bigger plan? You don't pour that kind of money into it unless there's a bigger plan. And I think that a long-term projected plan should be laid out to everyone to say, hey, this is what we're looking to invest now because this is what we're looking at down the road, and I think you'd get a bigger buy-in.
Well, maybe. I'm thinking there's got to be an ulterior motive for all this because this is big money. To just go 7.5 miles each way?
And build new stations and offer free parking. It just, where is, there's got to be return for the investment, and that's where I'm looking for answers for.
You know, they cleaned up Pittston very nice, but it's not like it added jobs or anything. It's a pretty little town now, but again, it's just to go to a doctor or go to a couple of restaurants. That's it. At 5 o'clock, the place is dead, you know, and there's got to be something good to attract people to go there. Going to Jim Thorpe, and it's purposely kept at long intervals between trips. There's interest there. There's people that want to go there. But on a daily basis to go to Pittston, I mean, what would change from day to day there, you know? Yeah. I don't care if they have free parking, Rob. You know, that's like saying, you know, we're in the middle of the desert, but we're giving you free parking. Well, you know, come on, let's be smart about this.
Well, that's why I'd like to see more of a bigger plan.
I hope. I don't want to see this, you know, 5 years from now, going to one of the Congress. We need $2.4 million in federal aid to bail us out here. And I don't want to see that. But I just don't see it so close in distance. You have one bus that goes into Pittston that travels to Scranton. You have another bus that connects and goes on the west side and takes you into Kingston and that. I mean, what's going to happen to the buses? I mean,
yeah, these aren't taxpayer funds. This is a private entity looking to invest this money. But again, as a private entity, my question is, where's your return? What's your big plan for the return? Because any private entity has to be looking at a return. So why are you doing this, and what's the end game?
Yeah. Rob, can I ask you one other question unrelated?
Sure.
What happened to the shooting when Trump got hit in the ear? Is that still in limbo? Is that case closed? The first shooting of Trump.
Well, the suspect's deceased, so there is no trial. There's nothing like that. So for the most part, I think it's pretty much over.
But they don't say that, though. It's like there's some type of thing they're looking into. Or so you just don't get that feeling that it's... I know he was shot right a few seconds later, but I don't know. They just seem to have it on the books yet. I'm not sure, but I thought you'd be the one to question on that, you know? Maybe it is over with, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the suspect is deceased, so there's really nothing, no more to go there. And as far as any answers that Donald Trump would want... He's the man in charge now. I'm sure he can get any answers he wants. So if he didn't get the answers to satisfy him, I'm sure we would be hearing it.
Thank you, Rob. Glad you're feeling a little better. Take care, sir.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you. It's 3:43 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. We'd like to thank our show's sponsor today, Whitman Lawn Care. Whitman Lawn Care can help protect your yard from fleas and ticks, so you can let the good times roll without the worry. Call Whitman Lawn Care at 570-451-3683 and take care of your backyard back. So I'd like to thank Whitman Lawn Care. Let me go to the phone now. We have Rich from Laughlin on trains. Rich.
How you doing, Rob? Thank you, sir. Are people acting like it's 1935 and there's no other way to get transportation around here? I mean, you're 7.5 miles away from Pittston to Wilkes-Barre. There's buses that go there. And don't forget, if you want to go to the north part of Wilkes-Barre, the southern part, the train's only going to take you to point A, and that's it. And I do not see, there's like three or four stores in Pittston, and they're closed by 4 or 5 o'clock, and that's including a Burger King and a hot dog place, okay? No disrespect, nice places for everybody, but there's nothing involving here. I don't see it. There's got to be another angle here, federal funds or something.
Well, that's what is the bigger plan here? I think it's a great nostalgia type thing that could bring tourists or have local people here, something to do for our area. But where's the bigger plan? You don't pour that kind of money into it unless there's a bigger plan. And I think that a long-term projected plan should be laid out to everyone to say, hey, this is what we're looking to invest now because this is what we're looking at down the road. And I think you'd get a bigger buy-in.
Well, maybe. I'm thinking there's got to be an ulterior motive for all this because this is big money to just go 7.5 miles each way.
And build new stations and offer free parking. It just, where is, there's got to be return for the investment, and that's where I'm looking for answers for.
You know, they cleaned up Pittston very nice, but it's not like it added jobs or anything. It's a pretty little town now, but again, it's just to go to a doctor or go to a couple of restaurants. That's it. At 5 o'clock, the place is dead, you know. And there's got to be something good to attract people to go there. Going to Jim Thorpe, and it's purposely kept at long intervals between trips. There's interest there. There's people that want to go there, but on a daily basis to go to Pittston, I mean, what would change from day to day there, you know? I don't care if they have free parking, Rob. You know, that's like saying, you know, we're in the middle of the desert, but we're giving you free parking. Well, you know, come on, let's be smart about this.
Well, that's why I'd like to see more of a bigger plan.
I hope. I don't want to see this, you know, 5 years from now going to one of the Congress. We need $2.4 million in federal aid to bail us out here, and I don't want to see that. but I just don't see it so close in distance. You have one bus that goes into Pittston, that travels to Scranton. You have another bus that connects and goes on the west side and takes you into Kingston and that. I mean, what's going to happen to the buses? I mean,
yeah, these aren't taxpayer funds. This is a private entity looking to invest this money. But again, as a private entity, my question is, where's your return? What's your big plan for the return? Because any private entity has to be looking at a return. So why are you doing this, and what's the end game?
Yeah. Rob, could I ask you one other question unrelated?
Sure.
What happened to the shooting when Trump got hit in the ear? Is that still in limbo? Is that case closed? The first shooting of Trump.
Well, the suspect's deceased, so there is no trial. There's nothing like that. So for the most part, I think it's pretty much over.
But they don't say that, though. It's like there's some type of thing they're looking into. Or you just don't get that feeling that it's... I know he was shot right a few seconds later, but I don't know. They just seem to have it on the books yet. I'm not sure, but I thought you'd be the one to question on that, you know? Maybe it is over with, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the suspect is deceased, so there's really nothing, no more to go there. And as far as any answers that Donald Trump would want... He's the man in charge now. I'm sure he can get any answers he wants. So if he didn't get the answers to satisfy him, I'm sure we would be hearing it.
Thank you, Rob. Glad you're feeling a little better. Take care, sir.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you. It's 3:43 here at WILK. Time for the NEPA Premium Perks. Enjoy this half-off deal for Waldorf Estate of Fear. Get a $60 voucher for only $30. That's half price. Voucher is good for the Fear Package Prime, including Waldorf Hotel, Terra in the Corn, Infection, and Grimeville Slaughterhouse. Recognized as one of the top 10 hottest haunts in the United States and in Pennsylvania. Open Fridays and Saturdays, September 27th through November 1st, 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Located at 6325 Interchange Road in Lee Heighton. Visit getmyperks.com for all the details. We're back with the Rob O'Donnell Show, coming up on the Bloomberg Money Minute in just about 2 minutes here. So we got some good news today. The U.S. quarter two GDP grew 3.8%, beating the forecast of 3.3%. And core durable good orders rose 0.4% in August versus a negative 0.1% that was expected. So good news. The U.S. consumer remained a lot stronger than many thought, even in the midst of a stock market sell-off and a lot of trade uncertainty, said Heather Long, chief economist at Navy Federal Credit Union. That's my institution, by the way. Consumer spending rose at a 2.5% pace, up from 0.6% in the first quarter, and well above the 1.6% the government previously estimated. Spending on services advanced to 2.6% annual pace, more than double the government's previous estimate of 1.2%. So good news coming in for the second quarter. And again, debunking a lot of the doom and gloom that was put out there that the tariffs would be causing. Now, the decrease from the first quarter in part was a lot of companies were pre-ordering a lot of goods because of the tariffs, but now sourcing more and more of their goods here from the United States, which is boosting our GDP, which is good news for our economy and good news for us. So looking at some news coming out of, the Russia area where... Let's see. Danish media reveals that a Russian Navy warship has been spotted by helicopter 12 kilometers off the southern land of Denmark with its AIS transponder switched off. Now, this is the area that days ago during a drone incident with Russia and Denmark. So another increase there in tensions. It's 3:50, time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Well, just a little earlier today, the special agent in charge, Joe Rothrock, gave an update of the Dallas ICE facility shooting. Gave an update on what information they have, and now a pretty solid motive.
Yesterday morning, Joshua Yon carried out a targeted ambush-style attack on law enforcement. Today, I will provide you with some updates of what we've learned through our investigation to date, to include Yon's own words in his handwritten notes. Yon specifically intended to kill ICE agents. He fired at transport vehicles carrying ICE personnel, federal agents, and detainees. He also fired multiple shots into the windows of the office building where numerous ICE employees do their jobs every day. We now know that Yon engaged in significant high degree of pre-attack planning. He searched for information about the office building and how to track ICE agents' locations. Yon also acknowledged the potential for other casualties. He knew with a high likelihood ICE detainees would be transported that morning in the exact location where he was facing from his perch on a nearby rooftop. Yon's attack did in fact result in the tragic death of one detainee and the injury to two other detainees. We have been able to confirm that Yon legally obtained an 8mm bolt action rifle he used in the shooting in August of this year. Based on our investigation to date, we believe Yon acted alone, but I'll stress our investigation continues. This attack yet again underscores the dangers that law enforcement face daily. We continue to see an increased threats against law enforcement.
Again, that was Special Agent in Charge Joe Rothrock of the FBI field office there. And it's interesting because FBI Director Kash Patel gave an update basically saying that they've been working 24/7 to seize devices, exploit data, and process writings obtained on the location of the subject's person, residence, and bedroom, and gave a listing that the suspect downloaded a document titled Dallas County Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Management containing a list of DHS facilities. He conducted multiple searches of ballistics and the Charlie Kirk shot video between 9:23 and 9:24. Between 8:19 and 8:24, he searched apps that tracked the presence of ICE agents. One of the handwritten notes recovered read, "Hopefully this will give ICE agents real terror to think there is a sniper with AP rounds on the roof." AP would mean armor piercing. Further accumulated evidence to this point indicates a high degree of pre-attack planning. Now, that was put out yesterday by FBI Director Kash Patel. And today, this morning, the Associated Press headline is, "Motive of shooter who officially say opened fire at Dallas ICE facility remains unclear." Unclear. Okay. You cannot loathe these people enough. You truly can't. Let me go to the phone now. We have Joe from Dallas. Joe from Berwick.
Oh, hello. Yeah, thanks for having me on, Rob. Well, I'm going to explain something here, and I think to the benefit of many of your listeners for their own sanity. Okay, I'm watching a movie today on this rainy day called The Django Unchained. You've heard of it, I assume, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'd say a good movie, very brutal movie in that, you know, a lot of killing in modern Hollywood. They shows things not like old movie, giving, you know, people's heads exploding, stuff like that. So pretty brutal movie. I don't know if you remember this, but that movie was set to make its unveiling or debut right at about a time of one of these mass shootings. And the unveiling, I guess you would call it, of that movie was actually put off by about a week because they actually said, they used in the reasoning, they said, well, out of respect for, the shooting that just happened. Now, I bring that up because here's the deal. We're hearing this tortured logic of people trying to blame Charlie Kirk's shooting on Donald Trump and right-wing extremism and all this, right? And it would drive a sane person insane to try to even reason this. And in fact, that's what Charlie Kirk did. He did, in fact, engage these people in their insane reasoning, and most of the time they couldn't handle it very well. Now, I bring that up because remember these people who they're dealing with and their way of thinking. Fabricated story, a form of entertainment, a violent movie called The Django Unchained, and these people somehow think that delaying that unveiling and the premiere of that movie for a week was somehow an answer to a mass shooting in this country. And these are the same people who are resisting any kind of federal help, even though the violence is completely off the hook in their cities and crimes are being ignored. And as you pointed out so often, they're not even classifying crimes as crimes. They're just ignoring them. It's important for people observing all this. If you don't have a way of making sense of it, or you're not going to. You can't reason with the unreasonable. They're in a whole different world altogether. And of course, I don't advocate violence towards them, but either they've got to be defeated politically or their ideas just rejected, or it'll drag all of us down with them.
Joe, we're going to have to leave it there. I'm at 4 o'clock.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.